morning. How you all doing? I'm all right. Someone told me I looked tired, though. I was up early for some reason. It's so good. Okay. Many of you practiced meditation this last week with a verse, doing some Sabbath work. I've been trying to still integrate that into my life from our last two teachings. Before I begin, let me just say this out of the chute. You know, unless there's an emergency, we would greatly appreciate if you would not leave your seat during this service. Because if you do, then everyone else is distracted. So try to hold it. It won't be that long. You can make it. I know you can. I definitely know that. Hey, as I was talking through solitude, and I understand that solitude, spending time in quietness, is not a habit that anyone is cultivated in. That's why I encourage parents, kind of gave them a plan to help their children learn how to do it from a younger age till you get older. But for me, I have found that I need help. Just like when I read my Bible, try to read my Bible every day, I get some plan I can follow. So I follow the plan, and it helps me a lot. I've come across this gal named Jan Johnson, and she's put together a few what I would call personal retreat guides. They're about this big. They're paperback. They're pretty easy. One is Trusting God for Everything, Psalm 23. That's the one here that I use. I went away for 2 days of silence, and there's about 7 lessons in here, so I did 4 one day. I did about 1.75 days, and then I did 3 lessons the other day. And they're designed to help you enter into solitude. You can also take one a week if you want to and spend time doing it. And that might take around, if you really give yourself some time, it might give you about 30 minutes into it. That really helps drive it down. She also has one on living in the companionship of God and then learning to hear God. There's not a lot of these kind of things written out there. But if you'd like to get one of those by Jan Johnson, I would recommend it. And we're going to kind of refer once again to how you might use that with our topic this morning. But before we get into the topic this morning, I just wanted to once again help us all to remember a verse. You guys ready? Okay. Guard your heart, what? For it determines what? Guard your heart. That's a full-time occupation because it is where your life is determined and my life is determined. It comes from my soul, my spirit, my inner life. And this is just one of those verses that reminds me again and again that my physical body is important. My relationships with others are important, but nothing is more important than the condition of my soul and the condition of my soul before God. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Way to go. Most of you are getting this down. Nice. And this morning, we're going to continue on in that, in this whole idea of how do we find strength for our soul, strength for your soul, my soul, for the journey that we're on. And we don't know the future. We don't know the next day. And so having strength in here is critical for whatever we're going to face. Let's pray and ask God to help us open up right now. Heavenly Father, I know that when I stand in a room with others as we sing, even if I just sit quietly and listen, you do something in my soul. It's the power of music. And the psalms that are so significant in opening up our soul is our songs that crack us open. And so, Father, with our soul open before you right now, we just say that we are here so that we could learn something from you, so that we could know you better, so we could love you and trust you more. It's to this end that we not just pray, but we live our lives, and we're here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. We know Jesus, before he began his mission on earth, he fasted for 40 days. And we can read about fasting throughout the Old Testament. We know that the early church, as discovered in the book of Acts, fasted regularly. And so the idea of fasting, which isn't talked much about these days, seems to be very important for the kingdom of God. Very important. And it can be very beneficial for individuals. And so as we talk about strengthening our soul, I just want to answer a series of questions about this one thing, fasting. And I want to do it in such a way that hopefully as we go through it, you say, you know what, I might be able to do that. And this is the direction we might do it in. We as a church, the leadership, the elders, fast on the second Tuesday of the month, which will be this Tuesday coming up. And we'll kind of encourage some if you want to join with that. But we'll give you some ideas on how you can do it to kind of help you along. But the first question I want to deal with is, what is fasting? What is fasting? It is not designed for a program to lose weight. I say that seriously. I mean, it's not. I mean, sure, if you fast for 40 days, I'm sure you're going to lose weight, but that's not the purpose of it. Throughout the Bible, fasting refers to abstaining from food for spiritual purposes. It's this idea that says, whatever the fast is about, God, this thing is so important that I'm willing to deny my bodily wants. Because when you do it, it's difficult, especially in our culture. It's very difficult with food plentiful and all around us. It's a very difficult thing. And we're going to talk about other ways, because I know some people can't fast a food and it might not be beneficial for some. But we'll talk about other ways of fasting as we go through this. But the interesting part to me is this idea is that fasting, if you read it throughout, as I looked at all the passages throughout the Bible, is always on and about God and his mission on planet Earth and how I kind of fit in with that. So it does have to do with my spiritual life from time to time, instead of praying for something, but it also is about my life. It's about my life deep within me. And so when we talk about fasting, what fasting is, it's this idea of saying, I'm going to deny something in my life that I either depend upon or like. Okay, that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. And in Matthew 6:16, it says this, when you fast, do not look sullen like the hypocrites. Now, he's talking about the religious leaders of the day, because this is what they would do to make everyone else know that they were fasting, so everyone else would think they were cool. Do not look sullen like the hypocrites, for they make their faces unattractive so that people will see them fasting. Sorry, there's something I really wanted to say there, and I'm just not going to. Dang it, I'm growing up. Now, this is an interesting line that we want to hone in on. I tell you the truth, they already have their reward. So we'll pick up on that theme of reward a little bit. But the idea is that if you're doing fasting for the wrong motives or in the wrong way, then God says it's not going to account for anything. A lot of the verses dealing with fasting from the Old Testament were talking to people who were doing it regularly, who are doing it for all the wrong reasons or because of other things that were out of bounds. Isaiah 58:4 puts it this way. What good is fasting? This is just on your screen, not on your notes. What good is fasting when you keep on fighting and quarreling? This kind of fasting will, what's that next word? Never get you anywhere with me. So he says, if I'm out of bounds, then if I fast, it's not going to accomplish anything. Like, let's say I'm saying, oh, I'm going to fast that my marriage gets better. The whole time I'm having an emotional affair with someone at work, God would go ahead. Get back in bounds and let's talk about it. Okay? Get back in bounds and let's talk about it. And so we have to understand that if I'm fasting with the wrong motive, or if I'm out of bounds, or if it's solely about me, as it was with the religious leaders of Jesus' day, this is about me and how others see me, then God goes, that's not going to accomplish anything. And so what we understand about what fasting is it's centered on God's mission. We see that in the Bible, God's mission on planet Earth. That's why we would ask you to join with us for God's mission through SCF here to fast with us on Tuesdays. But it's also for direction at times. The church would fast, say, God, what am I supposed to do? Or an individual can fast for that. God, what am I supposed to do? Where am I supposed to go? And then also we see that fasting is used oftentimes for repentance or deliverance. Like, here's this area in my life that I just can't figure out how to get over it. And God, I now admit it's totally up to you, and it's such a big issue in my life that I'm going to embark on some level of fasting in my life. The critical thing here is that fasting is saying to God that my spiritual life, guard your heart above all else, my spiritual life, my soul, my inner life, is way more important than anything physically, whether it's food or other activities. It's more important than any of that. And sometimes I need to say, God, I need to fast because things aren't going well inside of me spiritually. And God, I need everything you've got to pour into me. And that is where fasting comes in. And that's why, you know, that's that aspect of deliverance or direction perhaps. Or God, it's your mission on planet Earth. That's at the top of what's important to me. God, I'm open to you and your will, that kind of thing. But the critical thing that comes up in this discussion of fasting is, what effect does it have on God? You see, we get into this problem, well, at least some people do. Can I fast and change God's mind? It's an important question. Now, I can read you passages that say that God doesn't change. I can also read passages that say God changed his mind. I can read them. They're littered throughout the Bible, both of those teachings. And so, when I find teachings like that, I have to ask myself, okay, how can I make sense of this? Because I see opposing points of view, it seems. Now, as I study the Bible more and more, I realize when God says he doesn't change, he's talking about his core nature. He doesn't change. That is who God is. But then when it comes to God and us, we might talk a little bit about God's plans, then some things kind of go up in the air. And we have to ask ourselves, so if God knows everything that's going to happen, so it's predetermined, I mean, truthfully, let's forget about fasting. Why would I even pray for anything? And yet the Bible is very clear to pray and ask God. So then we have to kind of wrestle with it. Well, anyway, one of the guys I like is C.S. Lewis. He lived, you know, a while ago. And he was talking just on this subject about, does God change? And I'm just going to read a quote that he said. And it says this. C.S. Lewis suggests that we best imagine the world not as a state governed by a potentate or a big ruler, but a work of art, something like a play. In the process of being created, so let's take a look at the world, history, the future as a play that is being created. The playwright, the person who writes it, allows his characters to affect the play itself. So he allows them to affect it and then incorporates their actions into the final results. Okay? Then he makes this brilliant last summary. It says, Lewis sums up the drama of human history as one in which the scene and the general outline of the story is fixed, but the author, it's fixed by the author, the scene and the general outline of the story, but certain minor details are left for the actors to improvise. So then you say to yourself, one of my friends pictured it this way. He said, eternity is like an ocean, and time is like a ship upon it. God knows when that ship started, and he knows right where that ship is going. He knows right where it's going. Nothing will ever alter that. But with on the ship, there's a great deal of choice. And God says, hey, enjoy the ship that you're on. But where we start and where we're ending, that's fixed. How we get there, that's fixed. You'll never know, that's fixed. I won't change that. That's the deal. But while you're on the ship, enjoy along the way. And so what happens in this discussion, is that through fasting and prayer, our life may be on this course, but we can say, God, you know what? Is there any way something can alter here? Is there any way you can do something in my life? You see, one of the things I've come to understand is that there are natural laws and there are spiritual laws. And natural laws and spiritual laws, one of the big laws of both dimensions, is the law of consequences, both positive and negative. If I lie a lot, I will never have any deep friendships. That's just going to happen. That's just the nature of life. If I'm not ethical in my business dealings, then my business will suffer and I will not have a lot of return customers. That's just a consequence of that behavior. If I am kind to people, then I will discover that the consequence is that I'll have kindness back. Well, there are spiritual consequences too, but every now and then, perhaps good or bad, we say the world and our spiritual lives are governed by these consequences, these laws, both positive and negative. At times we say, oh God, is there any chance that this consequence could be changed? And so I might pray and fast for it. And in the world of consequences, fasting and prayer can have significant impact on God and in our life. And so the reason I bring that up is another question that rolls out of what effect does this have on God is, does God reward us? It's an interesting question. Does God reward you and I for certain behaviors, certain things we do? And so, this is what it says, actually about fasting. So when you what? Fast, our topic today. Comb your hair and wash your face. Look nice. In other words, don't let anyone know you're doing it. Then people will not know that you are fasting, but your Father, whom you cannot see, will see you. Way to go, he's saying. Your Father sees what is done in secret, and he will what? He'll what? He'll reward you. That's an interesting statement to me. This isn't in your notes, but it's up on the screen. Hebrews 11:16. And for some reason, I memorized this a long time ago, not in this translation, but it runs through my head often. Now, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For the one who approaches God must believe, in one of the versions, two things. One, that he exists. And two, that he what? Rewards those who seek him. And so, yes, I can work my tail off at work, perhaps, get two jobs so I get enough money to make my life easier. That is a reward for my work. You know, I can do everything right with another human being and not necessarily get the reward I want because it's another human being. But interestingly, with God, he makes this statement. One version says, if you diligently seek me, then I am going, and a reward is something I don't deserve, and it's usually above or beyond what I expect. And so it's interesting to me that God's plans, not his overall plans, but some of the things that we see happening in our lives can be changed. But if we don't do anything, they would just continue on the course of the consequences, good consequences and bad consequences. But we might, as Lewis talks about, we might pray and fast. And God goes, I see what you're doing in secret. No one else knows you're doing it. I'll step in. And I will move to help you. And so I understand now that if I diligently seek him, so I say, God, I believe that you exist. And if I seek you, you do reward. And I need help. So we're seeking you in this area. And it's so important to me that I'm going to deny myself something. And I can begin. So, God rewards, and it's something we should talk about, and we should know this. And if I just put God secondary in my life, and we'll talk a little bit about that next week in our next habit we're going to talk about. If I put him secondary in my life, then the consequence of that is that God does not flow into my life to the same degree. It's a consequence. If God is just every now and then a thought, or I just casually obey him, which means I obey what I like and everything else, I just say, oh, that doesn't apply to me, then God doesn't flow into my life a lot. It's a consequence of that behavior. So the question I have is how to do it. How do I do this? How do I do this? So I'm just going to say three things on how to do it. This is simple this morning. Number one, the first thing I need to ask myself before I begin is the reason. Reason. What is the reason that I want to fast? What is the reason? Oh, okay. All right. I had something written down. I don't know what it meant. So typical of me. So I need to ask myself, am I really fasting for, like, God's mission on planet Earth? That's an important thing. Am I fasting for the three things that we talked about before? Are we fasting for direction in my life? God, Or am I fasting for this idea of deliverance in my life from something, or repentance? Because in the big picture, when I'm out of bounds or when I'm struggling with all this stuff, I really don't have the energy or ability to be part of God's mission on planet Earth, helping others discover him, walking closely with a few other believers, and pursuing him. So I need to ask the question, you know, is that why I'm fasting? Interestingly enough, if all I fast for is this idea, like I might say, oh, I just want a better spiritual life. Well, here's the question. This is how I wrote it. I hear this often. It's kind of interesting. People always talk to me about stuff that's odd. So they come to me and they say, hey, by the way, well, they may not use lottery, but I'll use it because it's a common thing, or megabucks. You know, Scott, if I won megabucks, I'd give half to God. And so my first question always is, well, how much are you giving now to him? And then they get real uncomfortable. And I said, because this is probably true, if you're not doing it at least a little bit now, you're definitely not going to do it later if you won. So I have to be on the journey already. So if I'm praying to God, God, I want a better spiritual life, then what God probably, you know, as you talk about reason and the right attitude, then God's looking, well, are you at least trying to pursue it now? Or are you doing it for the wrong reason? So once again, reason is critical. And I would say in reason, anytime I fast, if I'm looking for direction or things like that, or what God's mission is in planet Earth through this church or through my life, I always, you know, like Jesus have to say, God, not my will, but yours be done. Pretty simple. That's how it would work. The question is then, reason and time. Time. And I would say, how long should I fast for? Jesus did 40 days. Not too sure I'd recommend that. I have had friends do it for 40 days. I'm not too sure I'd recommend that. I think it depends upon the reason for it and also what the fast consists of. I have another friend who fasts every week, has done it for decades. They fast every week. And they really fast for the kingdom of God on planet Earth. That's what they fast for. It's part of their life. And if I look at their life, you can definitely see that God has really moved into their life. I'm not saying their life has been easy. There's been horrible difficulties in their life. But God has done an amazing work through him and his ministry. It's been amazing, actually. But he's made that a habit. So I say it depends upon the reason for it. Like, if, you know, and, you know, the significance of what it is and what it's going to be begin with, what it talks about. So, time is everything. Now, if I could help you learn how to fast, I would start simple, okay? Let's say, and I'll talk about other things here, what, but if I was going to begin fasting, I'd never done it before, I might try it casual. I might try it not like 20 days. Not too sure that's a bright idea. I might try real short, like a, you know, an easy one to start is, you know, I'm going to begin fasting after I eat lunch today, and I'm going to fast until I eat lunch tomorrow. So it's just two meals. It's just a beginning thing you can do. That would be simple to do, perhaps. Or maybe you start missing one meal, and then the next day you do two meals, or then the next time you do two meals, and then the next time you do three meals. But you say to yourself, and you can do this, okay? You can do this. And so you could begin that way. What, this would be my last one on how to do it, what, I would say that sometimes you can just say, I'm not going to eat food, I'm just going to drink liquids, but I'm not going to eat food for a set period of time. That could be it. You may not be able to do that. So another thing you could do is you could say certain foods that you love. Okay? Like for me, I could say, I'm not going to eat cooked vegetables for a month. And I'd fast. Like that. I've actually been fasting of that for, I don't know, 30 years. I don't know. I guess it's working. I guess it's working. It's my little thing. I love them, but I just have chosen not to eat them in my life. I always make another excuse to everyone else, but it's, you know. Oh, shoot, I just told you what it was for. Now it's, there goes my reward. But let's just say it's something you do every, like, I don't know, gosh, some, you know, some food you love. Okay, I love bacon. Oh, you put bacon on anything that makes it better. Got a steak, want to make it better? Wrap it in bacon. Got some crappy vegetable dish that's cooked, you want to make it better? Sprinkle bacon on top of it. I mean, bacon is just the universal thing to make things better. I might say this, you know what I'm going to do, God? I'm not eating bacon for the next 6 months. Now I'm going to take a longer period of time because it's just one thing. I might take a much longer, maybe 6 months is a little long, but I'll just do it tomorrow, God, because I could do it every meal, but okay, I'm going to hold off. But you understand that I can pick select groups of things that I'm just going to say. So if I pick a select group, I would say the time has to be longer. Because what you're saying to God is, God, this area that I'm fasting about, gosh, Lord, help me break through in this area. And so I'm going to deny myself something I really like. Now, for some of you, eating may be a problem. Because of maybe, you know, in the past you've had a problem with an eating disorder, and if you got on this train of not eating and losing weight, you could get wrapped up in it again. Or maybe you have a health condition that would prevent you of it. That does not mean that fasting is not an option for you. You just can fast from other things. Like you could say this. If you watch TV and you have a lot, let's say you have, you know, I don't know, 10 to 15 DVR shows recorded a week, or 30. You could say this, you know what, God, honestly, for the next 3 months, I'm not going to watch TV on Wednesday night. I'm not going to watch it. I'm actually going to use that time to pursue you. And during that time, you might say to yourself, you know, you could work through a book like this, just, you know, one a night. You say, God, I'm literally, you know, I'm kind of addicted to watching TV. I'm going to give that up. I might give up some other behavior for a period of time. Because I can't really do the eating thing, but I can do this. And God, you know, I might say this. Here's another one that's pretty simple to do. God, I'm going to make a commitment for the next month that I'm going to drive in silence. I'm going to drive in silence. In my car. I'm not going to listen to anything. I'm not going to do any of that. And truthfully, God, throughout this whole next month, or you may start with a week, see if you can do it. Through this whole next week or month, God, I'm just going to pray and seek you for whatever it's about. I'm just doing this for you. And no, temptations are going to come. When I get hungry on a food fast, when it comes, those hunger pains are there to remind me, oh gosh, and those pains are to remind me, okay, God, I'm checking in with you. And when I'm driving and you're walking down, you're driving and, you hear that person parked next to you and their car's bumping and moving and you say, I love that song. Because that's the only time you could hear it when it's that loud. And there's this temptation to turn your music on. You go, oh, no, I'm not going to do that. So what happens is that I can fast with food. I can fast with just certain types of food. I can fast with activities if that's a problem. The truth of the matter is this, as I remember the truth. He who comes to God must believe these two things. That he exists and that he will reward me if I diligently seek after him. And he goes, this is the underlying aspect of my relationship with God. And I would say that fasting might be very beneficial to you. You may have an area in your life that you have not been able to defeat for years. I mean, it comes up all the time in your life. You can say, that's it, God. Maybe, I'll start with a couple meals or one meal. It might be food. It might be I'm going to give up this on a certain night for the next 4 or 5 months or 3 months or 2 months, or I'm going to stop this behavior activity or something like that. God, this is literally sinking me. Wrecks my relationship with you and other people. And those who seek him diligently, God says, I will reward. I know as I was going through this, as I was studying it, I realized I have a health condition, so fasting is a difficult thing for me to do. I've done it. I always feel like horrible for a week or so afterwards, for a few days afterwards. But as I was going through it, I realized that, oh my gosh, God, this is something I can do. Whatever kind I can do, because there are things in my life and in the mission of God on planet Earth and through this church, I go, this is a lost art. This is a lost habit. This is a lost habit that I had totally forgotten about. And most times we don't even talk about it. And so I would encourage you to give it a try. I think any of you can do it. Now, if I could give you an exercise, because we've been doing exercises through this whole thing. You ready for an exercise?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Here you go. I know this is going to sound so cheesy. Technically, for the last hour and 8 minutes, you haven't eaten. For the last hour and 8 minutes, you have made a choice to say no to what probably all your friends are doing and you're here. And at the end of this time, you're probably saying to yourself right now, I am a little bit more inclined towards God. Would that not be a safe assumption? Because you made a choice to say no to something else. And this happened. And now you're going to leave here going, oh, that's weird. Hey, I fasted for an hour and 8 minutes. Unless you smuggled food in here, which you shouldn't have, but that's beside the point. But what I'm saying is, do you understand the principle? It actually works. You're already experiencing it. If I give up that which other people are doing, God rewards. And your life's a little bit richer in terms of your spiritual life this morning. I'm saying it can go beyond that. And I think fasting is demonstrated throughout the Bible. I would strongly encourage you in this. I would strongly encourage you. And if you'd like to join us, try missing one meal on Tuesday. Read our prayer. If you haven't signed up for it, go up to SCFNet and click on prayer. Brett? Does it say that? And you can sign right on the right. You can click on it and you can sign up. We'll send you out what we call a mission prayer for SCF every week. And we've got one for this week. You can open up and say, hey, I'm going to miss a meal and pray for that. Or maybe do two or three. I don't know. But you can try. You can start. You can join with us. Because I love a God who reached out for me first. And I didn't have to do anything but accept him. He says, Scott, if you even want to go deeper, unlike this society where you could work forever and never get a raise, work forever and lose your job, or you could be in a relationship and pour into it and never get back what you think, if you pour into me diligently, I will reward you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this morning was just one of those habits, disciplines, the Bible, that people might call it, that we don't talk about much. And yet, Your own son did it for 40 days. It was important for him. The early church did it, and you led them and directed them. And I'm not too sure how in our food-saturated world, where we can get food so quickly and easily, I don't know when we've lost it. That idea of saying no to stuff in my life for a time period, to pursue you, to see what you're doing lived out through me and us. I don't know when we lost that. But God, begin to reinstill it in our lives, in our souls, in our practice. Father, instill it in our lives. And we just thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now to the one who moved first before you even thought he cared about you and sacrificed his life and then poured his very life into you so that you could live the life he's called you to. Don't just go in his peace, go in his hope and spread it on to others. We'll see you. Bye.